Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about being obtuse. Now, if you're like me, this word probably was not a part of your everyday parlance or your vocabulary. I heard it for the first time in a movie called Shawshank Redemption. And the main character, Andy Dufresne, is told the warden, "You're being obtuse." And I remember I could not ascertain the definition of that term through context clues only. I think the term is rather nuanced. It seems straightforward. Let me give you an example of the definition. All right? The definition is annoyingly insensitive or slow to understand, stupid or unintelligent, not able to think clearly or to understand what is obvious or simple. Now, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that I'm thinking that the word obtuse probably connotatively would imply that the person is being obtuse, but on purpose. In other words, they are purposefully being difficult to be understood, okay? They're purposefully being insensitive or difficult to understand. No, difficult to, slow to understand. Sorry. And we're going to get into this. And I think a lot of people, whenever they come and they talk to Christians, they are purposefully obtuse in order to try to catch the Christian in some, contradiction, maybe. Contradiction might be a good one. They're trying to catch the Christian in something. This happened to Jesus all the time. Whenever the Pharisees and the scribes, they would come and they would ask questions testing him, they were trying to catch him. Well, when somebody comes and starts asking questions that are seemingly so innocuous and innocent, it needs to get your hackles up. You need to be... This is not a good exchange. This is not a friendly exchange. And I don't want you to be overly cynical, but I just want you to be real and understand that they're trying to hang you on the horns of a dilemma. They're trying to hoist you on your own petard, as it were. So, on the screen, you will see a QR code. If you find value in what we do, please consider supporting us monetarily. We would love for you to do that. And if you support us monetarily, you will get access to exclusive content. It's minimal at the moment, but we plan on adding more and more exclusive content. The QR code takes you to Buy Me a Coffee, buymeacoffee.com/ChristianityNow. And you can go to Patreon, www.patreon.com/ChristianityNow. And you can become a patron for as little as a dollar a month. Patreon is recurring. Buy Me a Coffee is a one-time. Both of them get you access to behind-the-scenes exclusive content. And that's all I've got here. We're going to take this off the screen now. There we go. Now, let me get to the comment sections. Good to see everybody. We've got several people watching, for which I am grateful. Wow, we've got two people on Christianity Streams watching. Listen, if you're watching this on YouTube, do us a favor. Help us get subscribers there. Comment. Tell us where you're from and hit the notification bell if you can and subscribe and share the YouTube live stream. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. Good morning, John Exum. And for those of you that are watching in the We Talk Truth group, if you'll see the screen right here, when you comment, this is what I see. It says Facebook user. Hello, brother. So I'm telling the Facebook user from the We Talk Truth group that's commented hello. I'm telling you hello. And if you ever comment from the We Talk Truth group and you don't know why I don't acknowledge you by name and I only read your comment, well, that's why, because it doesn't show me. But I'm happy to be able to stream to the We Talk Truth group. Hey, hey, Alabama is in North Alabama. Good to see you. Hey, hey. And of course, John Exum, I know where he is, but I'm not going to say it unless he does. All right. Now, wow. And look, since y'all did that, we've had one more person start watching on the stream, and we've had several people start watching on Facebook. So our audience went up several percent. And hey, Connie Barden's taking a break from picking her blueberries. Man, let me tell you, them blueberries are awesome. And hey, Sandra Olmsted, good to see you. And I know where Sandra Olmsted is too, but like with Jonathan, I'm not going to say unless she does. All right, let's talk about the being obtuse. All right, being, in my opinion, I think you can add willfully, being willfully dense, being willfully dumb. In other words, it's kind of like playing dumb. Now, on a post on the Christianity Now Facebook page, I shared some of my thoughts. And incidentally, I actually put this on Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. A sobering observation. It appears that in modern Christendom, loving God and loving thy neighbor as thyself has been replaced by a new greatest command, be nice. Further, it appears that anything that causes the least bit of friction between people professing Christ and those who deny him is deemed as a violation of the new greatest command, thou shalt be nice. To be clear, I do not think it is pervasive in the Lord's church yet, and I stress, yet, but I digress. The conflation of nice and loving has crept into the Lord's church, but I don't believe it's pervasive. Again, I digress. It is my goal to empower Christians to take the gospel to the world and to inspire and instill hope in them that it can be done. I do not, however, want to come across as being deluded or naive. The world hates us. Jesus spent some time during the last moments before his death preparing the apostles for this very thing. Go read John 15, 18 through 24. It is absolutely the case that there are people out there seeking the truth. It is also the case that if we do what Jesus wants us to do, evangelize, then we will be hated by the world. We will not win folk who hate us by being nice. We need to tell the truth. We need to tell them the truth, and we need to tell the truth of the gospel and trust in God that whatever happens is the best thing that can happen. God will give the increase, but only if we plant and water. Now, for illustration, go to the Christianity Now Facebook page and peruse some of the comments. It will be evident very soon that people's view of Christians is that they should not be, be mild as milk water and never say anything that will place boundaries on actions. And do not ever label something as evil or unrighteous. What is the solution? Well, it's fairly simple. Do not be afraid to be hated. Wear their vitriol as a badge of honor. Remember, we have seen for what they cheer, so we care not about their boos. Stay strong. Now, I had in the comment section somebody ask a question. Can you please explain what the teachings of Jesus were? What did Jesus believe in? Now, I have been doing this long enough that I know that this is not an honest individual, that they are coming with an agenda. And now, this is not the only place that they made comments, okay? But we're only going to look at this thread. There's another thread that is actually, it comes across as worse. They ask what kind of Bible version I use and stuff like that. Anyway, it's a mess. But can you please explain what the teachings of Jesus were? What did Jesus believe in? Well, my response, just like a lot of times when I respond to people asking questions, what do you mean by that? You know, somebody, I always use this as an example. Tony, is it a sin to pray to Jesus? It depends on what you mean by pray. It depends on what you mean by to, And it depends on what you mean by Jesus, and it depends on what you mean by sin. And sometimes people get a little miffed and they say, well, I don't even know what you mean by that. Why don't you just answer my question? And my response is, if you don't know what I mean by clarifying these definition of terms, and you can't figure out why I'm trying to clarify the definition of terms, then we don't need to talk about whether or not it's a sin to pray to Jesus. We need to lay a foundation first. All right? Now, let's go back. My response to, can you please explain what the teachings of Jesus were and what did Jesus believe in? My response is, well, it depends on what you're actually asking. Like, what are you actually asking? Like, Jesus taught a lot of things to a lot of different people. Some things apply to us today. Some things only apply to the people in the time in which he taught. And there are things that Jesus believed in that doesn't, and Jesus practiced, that doesn't come over to the new covenant. So what are you asking? What are you actually asking? Well, instead of answering my question, they divert. They respond, I thought Jesus promoted love and care for all. Now, this tells me right there that this person, and don't come at me for being judgmental, I'm going on my experiences, and I'm going on the pattern of conversation, and I've done this thousands of times. This person has an agenda, and they're not here asking questions. They're trying to teach, and they're trying to hang us on the horns of a dilemma. And more than likely, they are a member of or are friendly to the LGBTQ community and agenda. All right. So, in response to the comment, I thought Jesus promoted love and care for all. My response is, he does. One way he does is that he placed boundaries around wickedness and forbids it. Jesus loves the murderer and the liar. In order to be welcomed into his fellowship, they have to give up the sin of murder and lying. That's right, Connie. Obviously, they're trying to trick me up. Now, here's the response, and this is where the word obtuse comes in. I'm confused. So what attributes are forbidden? Or more important, if the sin continues, how does the Christian faith respond? Now, at this point, I know the person is being obtuse, and I think it's willful. I think they're trying to act or feign being obtuse, not understanding. They're feigning confusion. Do you know who did this really, really well and it made for good entertainment? Columbo. Columbo played the disheveled, none too bright detective. And he all remember Columbo's famous, well, one more thing. Yeah, that's right. There's nothing wrong with judging. We're supposed to judge with righteous judgment. Now, hello, Scott Wall. Good to see you. Now, let me give you my response to this person that I feel is being purposefully and willfully obtuse. Well, they said, I'm confused. So what attributes are forbidden? Like, you know what attributes are forbidden. Well, one, we just talked about murder and lying. Well, or more important, if the sin continues, how does the Christian faith respond? Well, here's my response. One cannot continue in sin, any sin, and be accepted of Jesus. God calls everyone to repentance following the teachings of the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Maybe if you could clarify what you were actually asking here, I could help you better. You might not be intending to be so, but you were being rather vague. Any sinful lifestyle must be changed before we are accepted into the fellowship of Jesus. For me to be more specific than that, I'll need you to clarify a little on your end. Now, at this point, an easy way to have this conversation would be for this person to say, well, I'm specifically asking these questions with the LGBTQ community in mind. What do you tell a practicing homosexual that wants to become a Christian? Man, I would love that question. and I would be forthcoming with answering it. Even if the person was a little antagonistic toward the cause of Christ, they're at least being honest with their antagonism, their opposition, and their question. But I'm not going to engage a person like this, okay? Now listen, here, this is a rather lengthy response compared to what we've been getting. I think what's happened is because I have not given this person the supply they're looking for, now they're upping their game. They're upping the ante, as it were. I keep looking over here for comments. I'm seeing some movement over here, but it's not comments. It's something else. Incidentally, for all of you that are watching, this is amazing. Such a good crowd. Share the stream. That's all I can add. And comment. Scott Wall says, flesh and blood and sin cannot enter the kingdom of God. That verse properly understood in its context, I 100% agree. Flesh and blood that has not been washed clean. If you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. That's the idea. Acts 26:20. Paul outlined what he taught. Repent, turn to God, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. All right? Now here's her. It doesn't matter, man or woman. Here's this person's response. I have a hard time with the hate I'm hearing from people claiming to be Christian. Okay, so obviously what this person wanted me to do, this person wanted me to play into what they were saying and say, well, homosexuals can't be Christians. You know that's not true. Homosexuals actually can be Christians the same way that heterosexuals can be Christians. You have to repent of the sin of fornication, and you have to stop fornicating. It matters not your sexual proclivity and to what you are attracted. You can't act on that desire. Lust, when it conceives, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Obviously, this person wanted me to play into this idea of arguing with her or this person about the LGBT community and wanted me to say that, well, homosexuals can't be Christians and this, that, and the other. And you know, I've talked about this ad nauseum. It's not that homosexuals can't be Christians. It's practicing homosexuals can't be Christians any more than practicing heterosexuals who are not married can't be Christians. And when I say can't be Christians, they cannot claim Christ and be right in the eyes of God. I believe that once you're a Christian, you're always a Christian. If you fall away, you're still technically considered a Christian. I mean, you still have an advocate with the Father. There's a sense in which you're always a Christian. You're just out of fellowship with God. And we can talk about the nuance of that. But my point is, when I say can't be a Christian, I mean can't be a Christian in good standing, okay? So I have a hard time with the hate I'm hearing from people claiming to be Christian. So this tells me that this person obviously wanted me to get down in the mud and wrestle with them. And we know we don't wrestle with pigs because you both get covered in mud and the pig loves it. Let me continue on with their comment. I'm seeing so much disrespect, anger toward women, and really just about anyone that doesn't follow their beliefs. I always believed religion should be based on attraction and not promotion. Well, think about that. Religion is not based on attraction. It's the Great Commission. The Great Commission that Jesus gave to Christians was to go make disciples of all nations, rather. That's promotion, folks. Is it not? Anyway. All right. But seeing so many assault weapons and images of Jesus carrying them, some evangelicals calling others demons, that they turn around and lie, then they turn around and lie and commit adultery and reject science. This obviously, they turn around and commit and lie and commit adultery and reject science. The reject science is code for they don't believe that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. They don't believe that men can have periods and men can give birth to babies, commit adultery and lie. They turn around, commit adultery and lie. That's whataboutism. That's, well, Christians are hypocrites. They're divided. Jesus was love. So any promotion of self-defense or violence, for right reasons is hate. Therefore it flies in the face of what Jesus taught. They're just, this is nothing but cultural Marxism influencing somebody's relationship with Christ. Murderers can't keep murdering, but they can't change that they are a murderer. I'm thinking, hold on. I hope I didn't block somebody. If you've been commenting and you all of a sudden can't comment, please send me a private message or an email in some way. Cause I just did something and something popped up on the screen. I don't know what happened. I hope I didn't accidentally block somebody. Anyway, murderers can't keep murdering, but they can't change that they are a murderer. I think I agree with that. I would have to chew on it a little bit. I don't think that a murderer that no longer murders. Okay, so there's some nuance to this, right? Let's just talk about this real quick. It's a live stream. We can do that. Murderers who no longer murder, the main thrust of what they will forever be known by is the fact that they murdered. It's kind of like if you climb Mount Everest and you only ever do that one time, you will forever be known as a mountain climber. All right. No, I think you worded it just fine. I like it and I'm going to talk through it. Okay, so think about this more general. A person who committed sin, in a sense, will always be considered a sinner. But the beautiful thing about Christianity is that you never have to be labeled a sinner again. But that's the standpoint of a practicing sinner. So I sin as a Christian, but I don't have to be labeled as a sinner. I'm not a practicing sinner. My life is not defined by sin. If I murdered once and I no longer murder, there's a sense in which I'm always going to be known as a murderer because that's what sticks out in people's mind. But technically, I never have to be considered a murderer because I stopped murdering once I repent and change my ways. Same way with the homosexual. So homosexuality and heterosexuality, I think, are different. I'm going to get kind of highbrow. I think homosexuality and heterosexuality are different ontological categories, okay? So you can be attracted to members of the same sex. You will always be attracted to members of the same sex, regardless of what happens, okay? Just like as a heterosexual, you will always be attracted to members of the opposite sex, regardless of what happens. So in that situation, when you become a Christian, you're still going to be known as either heterosexual or homosexual. That is a separate ontological classification that's not associated with action, that's associated with being, okay? If I'm murdering people and I'm called a murderer, that's an ontological classification that's associated with being, but it's based on action. All right? Now with sin as a Christian, if I consider myself a sinner, that's an ontological classification of being based on action, the action of sin. However, in Christ, I no longer partake in the action. Therefore, that ontological classification is rendered null and void, and I'm classified, I'm marked, identified by a new action. That's faithfulness. All right. So that's holiness. So it's a totally different ontological classification. And I know I got really highbrow on you, but I like what you're saying here. And there's a sense in which I 100% place my stamp of approval on it. So yeah, good stuff. Gita, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Gita. And Scott Wall says, be the same as one who puts his wife away except for fornication. And what would always be a fornicator. I think adulterer. I think I would change that last fornication to adulterer. One who puts his wife away Hold on a second, Scott. I think you have a typo or a word missing there. And let me change it to adulterer. So if I put my wife away because she burns the biscuits, I will always, and I marry somebody else, I will always be an adulterer until I stop adulterating and I leave the person that I married and I come out of that sin. If my wife marries somebody, she's going to be an adulterer. And the sexual intercourse that we would have in an adulterous relationship is labeled fornication. So in that way, I would be a fornicator and an adulterer, but I would no longer be classified as those if I stopped that behavior. Now, if a wife or a husband is put away for the cause of fornication, I don't think it's you can classify them as a person who will always be a fornicator. The person who's put away for the cause of fornication, they can stop fornicating, so they're no longer known as a fornicator, but they will forever be known as one who has been put away. Even if the spouse that put them away dies, they're still one who has been put away and thus not eligible for remarriage. So yeah, good stuff. Clyde Heberstein, good to see you. Anyway, so let's get back. Oh, I'm going to take this message off. Sorry. Good comments. Excellent comments. And wow, at the turnout in the live stream. Thank you so much for that. Now, okay, so this person goes on. I'm having a hard time feeling like the love of God I grew up with is still being present today. Well, you may just not be looking at the right place, and you may have a skewed view of what love is, which I think they do. I also believe many are using the cross to be a bully rather than seeing it as an honored symbol of their faith. Again, that's useless platitudes. It's not substantive. Now, here is whenever we get to the meat. I also don't feel comfortable when someone who was born without the typical XX or XY chromosomes are ridiculed and called a sinner. Nobody in Christianity who is really a Christian labels someone a sinner simply because they are born with messed up chromosomes. What this person is alluding to, it has to be practicing transgender people. The amount of people, if you run into a transgender person, they are 99.9% repeating nine going to have either XX or XY chromosomes. The amount of people that are born with something different than XX or XY that are actually hermaphroditic, anyway, who are actually cross-sexed is a fraction of a fraction of a percent, okay? This person has a very skewed view, but this person just told us what their agenda was. Now, she says, I guess I prefer love as the motivating principle and don't believe people are indoctrinated into being gay. Here's the thing. How many times have you heard me talk about the fact that I don't ever argue with whether or not somebody is born gay? Personally, I believe because we live in a fallen world and people are born with a missing arm, people are born blind, people are born deaf. People are born dead, but people are born deaf. People are born with congenital defects. Why couldn't you be born with a congenital defect that makes you attracted to members of the same sex? Just because somebody is born that way doesn't mean God did it. There are people who are born kleptomaniacs. There are people who were born without the ability to have a conscience. Do you think God did that? So, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter if somebody is born gay or indoctrinated into being gay. Practicing homosexuality is still sinful. Excuse me. Now, they go on to say, I know about 25 gay people, and 95% of them are doing meaningful work. Who cares? Have a loving family, and many are practicing in their respective faiths. Well, they can practice in their respective faith, but they can't be pleasing to God while they're also practicing homosexuality. And that is not hate, that is love. And we're gonna illustrate that before we get off the live stream. And I'm seeing more and more truly ugly people that stand behind the cross and spew hatred and have a bullying mentality. This would apply to me and you. Because we say God has standards, we're hiding behind the cross and having a bully mentality. Hello, Sheila Coase. Good to see you. So to be clear, this is the accusation. This person says, so to be clear, you see that a son or daughter of God who follows Jesus and in an active, upstanding member of their community as a sinner, ? Well, let me read my response, and I'm just going to read my response in its entirety, and then we're going to go and see about the standard of love. So here's what I respond to this person. Your thinking is very skewed and not based in reality. You are also being very judgmental and bigoted. Now, the reason I call them, said they're being bigoted, is because they are judging me not as an individual, but based on their experiences with other people. They're judging me according to a social group and not me personally. That is the definition of being a bigot. You began asking questions designated to hang someone on the horns of a dilemma. I saw through your line of questioning to the deeper agenda. You think that there should be no standard of morality governed by God. Well, there is. It is not unloving to tell people the truth. Even from a secular standpoint, there are observable truths that need to be told. Here is your problem. Open quote. So to be clear, you see that a son or daughter of God who follows Jesus and an active, upstanding member of their community as a sinner. Close quote. You are equivocating here. No, a son or daughter of God who follows Jesus is not, by definition, a sinner. Now, how does the Bible identify, which is inspired by God, i.e. God breathed, what a son or daughter of God who follows Jesus is? Therein lies your issue. A practicing sinner cannot be a child of God, nor a follower of Jesus. If you are actually interested and not just pushing an agenda, I can share the relevant scripture from God that teaches this. Also, there is so much to unpack that you are misinformed and mistaken about in your long comment up there. If you are interested and affirm that the Bible is the final authority, then we can have a discussion. If that's not what you are after and you won't affirm that the Bible is the final authority, then there really isn't any reason for me to engage further. Folks, this is the epitome of being obtuse. This person was equivocating. Let me give you the definition of equivocating since I haven't defined it. EQUIVOCATE. Equivocate. All right. Use ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth or avoid committing oneself to something. Incidentally, to the question about you're hiding Jews in the attic and the Gestapo knocks on your door and says, hey, are you hiding Jews from us? You can equivocate and you can be obtuse, but you cannot lie. You can use ambiguous language so as to conceal the truth, or avoid committing yourself to the idea that you have Jews in the house. So anyway, that's just something to think about. But here's the thing. This is the perfect example of it. Now, let's go to, and I can't even remember, I don't know which account I'm going to. Yeah, right here. I think it's the book of Mark. Where's it at? Mark. Come on. Mark chapter 10. Yeah, 10:21. Let me go here. Nope, that's Matthew. Bear with me, folks. We've had some major problems in the live stream today, hadn't we? Mark 10, starting in verse 21. Actually, let me go back and read this. Verse 17. Now, as he, this is Mark 10, 17 and following. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? None is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus, looking at him, I like what the King James says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Yeah, Clyde, that's a good, okay, so it is estimated that up to 1.7% of the population has an intersex trait, and that approximately 0.5% of people have clinically identifiable sexual reproductive variations. This is according to the CAP, but about 0.1 to 0.6% are transgender. I think you got your statistic backward. No, I do not believe at all the statistic from the CAP. They are an extremely liberal organization, and other organizations that do blind studies, they put this way low, way much lower than 1.7% are intersexed. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm well aware that statistic, but I've even seen people on the left in our nation actually admit that the 1.7% of people in our nation that are intersexed, that statistic is grossly over-exaggerated. So yeah, I appreciate the comment, but yeah, I don't hold to that 1.7%, but let's say it's 2%. All right. So let's talk about the 2%, but we have to talk about the 2% separately than the people that are out there that's suffering from the mental disability that is diagnosable, called gender dysphoria. So yeah, appreciate the comment there. But notice the King James in Mark 10, 21. Yeah, 10:21. I love it. "Beholding him, he loved him and said, 'Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then take up the cross and follow me.'" In this case, Jesus telling this man something that would be considered very hateful to folks who practice the new great command to be nice, it's identified as being loving. Love is kind, 1 Corinthians 13. The word kind in that text translates a Greek word that has to do with employment. It's useful. How useful would it have been for Jesus to say, Oh, I'm just so happy to have another disciple. You want eternal life? Just come follow me. And not show that man what was actually keeping him from laying up treasure in heaven. So we need to maybe think about changing our definition of love. We need to understand that we've got to be bold. And with this idea of equivocation and being obtuse, remember, when you deal with people, I don't want you to be so jaded that when you get somebody asking you questions, don't run them off by being rude. Don't run them off by being so defensive, but just be on the guard. Don't be naive. Don't be cynical, but don't be naive either. Answer their questions if you can. And if you find that they're being obtuse or if they're equivocating, then just answer their questions in the same way. You don't have to do it. I remember, and we don't have to go, we're out of time, way out of time. But do you remember whenever the scribes and the Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and said, hey, the baptism of John, or excuse me, by what authority do you do these miracles? By what authority, rather, do you do this? Forgive sins, whatever it was. And Jesus said, well, if you'll answer a question of mine, I'll answer your question. Maybe somebody in the comment section can, or somebody in the chat can tell me where that is real quick. Jesus said, if you'll answer my question, I'll answer yours. And they said, okay. The baptism of John, was it from God or was it from man? Well, what did they do? Well, they got over there to the side in a little old huddle and they come back and said, we can't answer you. Now, why couldn't they answer? Because they concluded, if they answered that it's from man, then the people will riot because they think John's an apostle. Not riot, but the people will, they'll fall out of favor with the people because people consider John an apostle. But if we claim that the baptism of John is from God, then Jesus is going to say, well, why didn't you follow it? So they said, we can't answer you. We're not going to answer you. I can't remember exactly how the verbiage is used. But the point is, Jesus didn't answer their question directly. He rarely answered a question directly when the people doing the asking were dishonest. That's something we probably need to adopt. Because if I would have handled this a different way, and if I would have started with trying to treat her as if she was coming in and being honest, and it could have gone a lot differently. Thank you, Mark 11:27-33. Appreciate that. Oh, wow, I'm close to there. Look, let's just go there. Mark 11:27. Then they came again in Jerusalem, as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they said unto him, by what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? If we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority do I do these things. That's a perfectly acceptable way of dealing with people. That's right, Scott Wall, I do believe they lied. I believe they knew exactly where it was from, and they just didn't like it. The person that said they do not feel the love of Christians like they did when they were younger, your innocence protected you from guilt, remorse, and shame. So we do not have those triggers of defensiveness. It's the same Christian biblical doctrine that was there when you were younger. That's such a good comment. I'm going to read it again. The person that said they do not feel the love of Christians like they did when they were younger, ... Your innocence protected you from guilt, remorse, or shame. So we do not have those triggers of defensiveness. That's amazing. And you know what? that lets me know, and that's a lesson to be taught. You know, I need to, this light needs, if this overhead light was against that wall, I wouldn't need a ring light. Anyway, that brings another lesson to mind. Be like little children. Understand that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You walk through this world, he wipes you clean. We, as Christians, should not, we should be like little children and look at the world with a certain innocence, and we ought not feel guilt, remorse, or shame. Christian, you never, ever have to be classified as a sinner ever again. Excellent stuff. That's a good comment. That's a good comment. All right. Folks, I think I've exhausted what I want to say on this topic. I guess let me end by one thing. Talking about being equivocating and that's like rewire the light with more power. What's that sitcom, Tim Allen? Oh, let's soup it up. I'm going to soup it up. Anyway, all right. The lighting, you can't have too much lighting. I found that out the hard way. But, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with my ring light. I feel very sad. Oh, yeah, let's go to Matthew. Listen, talking about being obtuse and equivocating, I watched a short video on TikTok doing some research for something else, and the person talked about Jesus affirming transgender people and transgender people being in the Bible. And guess what verse? They said it's Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there were eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. See, there's transgender people right there. That Jesus accepted a non-binary paradigm of gender. And I'm like, well, you don't even have to lick your finger and turn left. Just go up. Listen. Verse 7, they said unto him, when did Moses, why then, excuse me. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him. That didn't happen a lot, did it? And saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Folks, Jesus acknowledged two genders. God made them male and female. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to. Let me go look at something here real quick in my trusty, rusty e-sword. I'm curious about something. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because if it don't pan out, I don't want to look like a big dummy. All right, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5. Let's go to the KJV Plus. All right. The word wife here, that's what I thought. For this cause, here's how this verse could be translated. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his woman. The word wife is gune, and is translated woman 98 times in the King James. Is translated wife 80 times, is translated women 34 times, is translated wives 12, and the definition is a woman of any age, whether a virgin or married or a widow. And it also is used for a wife, or it's used of a betrothed woman. In fact, that is why No, I'm not going to go there. Let's go to the comments. I believe people are more apathetic and lack empathy much more than while growing up. As a Christian, that doesn't affect how I act. True. An interesting discussion. Great way to think about things while having to do housework. Thank you. Awesome, Gita. I'm glad I was able to bless your day. So, here's the thing. In two different verses in Matthew 19, before 19:12, Jesus affirms male and female, man and woman. So what in the world is Jesus talking about in verse 12? In the context, Jesus is talking about people who are as eunuchs. Now, the word as is a, if you use the word as, that's a simile. So you could say, for there are some people who are like eunuchs. But the problem is, you can't say that because Jesus is talking about eunuchs, people that don't participate in sex. Some of them are actually eunuchs. They've had their testes removed. All right? Or they're born eunuchs from birth. But people who made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, well, that's a metaphor. That's a comparison using or not using like or as. So you could say that there be eunuchs which made themselves like eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, but the text doesn't use like because it's a metaphor. Anyway, all right, that's all I've got here. I hope I've given you some stuff to think about. Remember, if people are being willfully obtuse and equivocating, you don't have to treat them the same way you don't have to deal with them the same way you would deal with somebody that's proven themselves to be honest. And I've given you an example of how people equivocate and are obtuse. They say, well, look at Matthew 19:12. That's Jesus affirming binary, non-binary and transgendering. Well, all you got to do, you don't have to turn the page. It's normally on the same page. It's on the same page in my Bible, or at least the same opening. And just look, that's not the case. Most people either do it dishonestly or they honestly think that and they're just ignorant. So again, don't be so cynical that you run people off thinking that everybody is dishonest, and don't be so naive that as Connie Barden mentioned earlier, that you allow people to trip you up when you're trying to deal honest with them. And that gets into Matthew chapter 5. Cast not your pearls before the swine, nor give that which is holy to the dogs, because they will turn and rend you. And that's it. Folks, 20 of you are in the live stream. That is amazing. Thank you so much. Please consider supporting the live stream. You can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now and do that. Or you can go to www.patreon.com/Christianity Now and do that. I don't know if we do stars or anything, but if you can do the stars, that's great. The YouTube channel hasn't grown to the point where you can do super chats and stuff, but that's kind of cool once that happens. I think we need 500 subscribers or stuff like that. I would love to get 1,000 subscribers in 3 months. That would be great. Our subscriber count continuously grows. That's wonderful. I'm going to take this QR code down. And thank you so much. I appreciate every one of y'all in the live stream. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. This is powered by Christianity Now. Follow me on Cogitations, Christianity Now Facebook pages. Subscribe, all that good stuff. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, powered by Christianity Now. And we will catch you on the flip side.